Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Victoria Pelletier has worked for over 20 years in corporate senior leadership. Her life experience has also brought her many lessons. Her TED Talk, Embracing Healthy Resilience, has amassed over 1.5 million views, in which she talks about going from the tough Iron Maiden to a softer approach and the steps we can all bring into our lives to be strong, but also open and empathetic, a reframing of what it means to be truly successful. Victoria was in Dublin recently for the Reinvention Summit, and I got to speak to her there.
You talk a lot about resilience and healthy resilience. Why is that subject so important to you?
Well, it's a big part of who I am and why I show up every day. I often sign my social media posts with being unstoppable, but the ability to do that comes from a strong amount of resilience. But also in today's day and age, both personally and professionally, with the sheer amount of change and transformation, geopolitical, all of those reasons, we need to show up every day with resilience. And I speak on healthy resilience as a much more effective way versus the old way of just kind of compartmentalizing and not processing some of the challenges.
Because what is your definition of resilience? And do you think there are issues or misconceptions around what it is or what it should be?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that just dealing with the challenge or the adversity without reflecting on it, without processing it, is being resilient. But I think at some point that can sort of bite you. It'll blow up at some point. So healthy resilience is a better way to deal with whether it's trauma, adversity, or challenge.
And people can watch your TED Talk to see you've been through a lot. You've experienced a huge gamut of experiences. But I think everybody does one way or another, and it's how we manage them. But I think people in your situation who have gone through loss, abuse, all kinds of issues in your personal and professional life, have more of an ability to talk about resilience, because if you can bounce back from that, you can bounce back from anything.
True, although I didn't always talk as openly as I do now, but I realized the power it created for myself, but also the benefit it gave to others to recognize their different type of trauma or similar type of trauma and how they could move through it.
And I use that term that I have an issue with myself, bounce back. I mean, I'm sure there was no bounce. I'm sure there was times where you were on the floor. And I think it's really important that we talk about that, but that there is hope and there is light and there is strength on the other side.
Absolutely. I often talk about the fact that, you know, we can't prevent some of the challenge or adversity that comes our way. But what we do have is a choice in how we move forward, how we react or respond to it. How do we anchor back to, the amazing vision that we have for ourselves versus the setbacks?
Something you said that really interested me was around how your resilience originally made you put walls up, and you became known, especially in your working life, as the Iron Maiden. And that's interesting to me because women in business, historically, there's been this cliche and this generalization that to get ahead, that's what you need. And you really had to take down those walls. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in part because of early trauma, I had developed walls as a way of protecting myself, but also as a very early young female executive, I also thought I had to maintain those walls, the boundary. I viewed emotion and vulnerability as weakness. And I realized after getting some unfortunate nicknames and recognizing I wasn't showing up the way I wanted to as a leader in the workplace, they needed to come down to build trust and to build real relationships with people.
Because it made me think of Margaret Thatcher, one of the most successful prime ministers of her time, of the UK, and that was her nickname, and she didn't show emotion when she was out, when she was delivering. And I still think now, more recently, the female prime minister that they had who stepped down, she did choke up as she was saying her farewell speech. And your instant reaction is that it's better to not show this emotion. But why wouldn't you feel emotional when something like that is going on? It's a funny swing and dance that we have, isn't it?
It is. And I think it's evolved and changed significantly, the view of Even in the workplace, employees who want to see some vulnerability, they want to see some emotion because they're looking to work for, work with leaders that they trust and they know that care about them. So I think it's critically important to have a balance between strength and emotion.
Yeah, and an openness to what's really going on in life rather than this swan idea that everything's fine on the top and underneath it all, it's crazy, because we're all in the same position. Everyone's juggling something, so it's important that we can show up as our whole self. Talk to me then about the steps you have for healthy resilience around goal setting and intentional living.
Yeah, so I have a sort of five-step approach, and the first is about setting goals or objectives, and always letting that be the anchor for yourself. The next is being very self-reflective, self-aware. When you have emotion or reaction, understanding the place in which that comes from, or if there's a challenge that comes your way, understanding why and how do you move forward. I refer to intention around being strategic intentionality. And so that is being mindful of the goal or objective you're achieving, and everything you do is with intention, the way you think and you act. Then the fourth would be surrounding yourself with a great community that can help support you. And the fifth is always giving yourself permission to fail in this. As much as you might have a goal or objective for yourself, there are going to be setbacks, some of which might be of your own doing. But give yourself time to grieve and go back through that reflection period, but ultimately anchoring back to your goal.
It's so interesting on the topic of failure. I was at one of the talks yesterday, and the speaker was asking the audience, out of your portfolio or projects or, you know, whatever it may be, what percent should be successful? And everyone was shouting 80%, 90%. She was talking about the pandemic and deciding when there was nothing else to do that she would grow kale. And out of the 39 seedlings she had, only two made it. And we really need to reframe what we consider success to be, or what our expectations are. How do you mitigate that? As a hugely successful person, how do you take on that not everything is going to work out as you perhaps intended to?
I take each setback or lack of achievement against a goal as one step towards it. So I try and see it as a learning, as an experience, and a stepping stone. You know, I refer to, you know, recognizing that one foot in front of the other is progress. And so if I haven't achieved it now, do I need to pivot? Do I need to adjust my goal? But ultimately just taking away from that, learning about it as and recognizing it as an experience towards the outcome I'm achieving.
I'm interested as well about the community that you spoke about and surrounding yourself with the right kind of people. And it's not just people that light you up and build you up that will call you out too. How do you find these people and make sure that they are the right people in your life?
I don't want to be surrounded by yes people. So I choose, there's a concentric circles around me, and those that sit in the inner circle are most definitely going to be the ones who challenge me, you know, who call me out on my action and cause me to think and reflect a little bit more on some of what I do. Not saying that there aren't yes people in the other circles, but I choose the ones most close to me to be the ones who are going to be radically candid and honest with me.
What about work-life balance? How do you feel about that term? Is it something you believe in? Is it something you manage?
I hate the term, personally. For me, it's all life. So we can talk about work-life integration instead. And I believe that, you know, there's compromises you make, both for your personal life and for work. I believe you can have it all, and maybe not always at the same time. But I hope that ultimately, when you look back in your life, you recognize that you made the right choices at the right times, a majority of the time.
And I love that, because I think that comes with the intentional living. And when you're living a life that you have intended for yourself, that has meaning and purpose to you, then it doesn't necessarily feel like work. It feels like life, as you said, and that's really important. What about striving mentality? How does that come into goal setting? Do you feel that you will ever reach a stage in life where you're like, I'm here now, it's enough? Or is that a concept that you ever consider?
It's not a concept that I consider at all. I just move the goalposts farther and farther along and try and achieve new and different things. For me, you know, success now is a very different measurement of what it was when I was in my 20s or even in my early 30s. And so it's going to be about challenging myself, about growth and doing new and different.
You're talking today about being a whole person leader. What is that? What does that look like?
Some of what we talked about around authenticity, around vulnerability. And so I, you know, being, you know, that command and control type of leader does not work anymore. Recognizing that people want to show up and be recognized for all that they bring to the table, the lived experience, not just the work experience, recognizing we can't check our personal lives at the door. Again, going back to that sort of full work-life integration piece. And so that is about being authentic. That word's abused, you know, quite frankly, but, you know, being true to oneself and recognizing all that we bring. It's about being vulnerable, emotional. It's about being transparent in our communications and supporting the goals ultimately for our teams, whether that might not always benefit us. And so in some cases, for me, that will be recognizing a career path for someone might mean out of our organization to a different vocation potentially.
And are you seeing this change? Obviously, you're living this way and leading in this way. Are you seeing it across the board at the tables you sit with and the companies you collaborate with?
I'm hearing it talked about quite frequently, and there is more demonstration of that, but it's nowhere near where I think it should be in the workplaces.
Well, hopefully today's talk is going to change that. Victoria Pelletier, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.